You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Come, Holy Spirit, send out your light and your truth, that they may lead us and bring us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Amen. Do y'all know what Substack is? Okay, I didn't know what Substack is. I'm the youngest priest, and I'm the most Luddite of the priests. Substack is like a blog where you can pay the blogger. I know, thank you. I don't get it. I don't understand. Shouldn't blogs be free? I don't know. Anyway, there's a psychologist named Jonathan Haidt, and he's a social psychologist, and he has a Substack called After Babel. Yeah, After Babel. I always get it confused with the Mumford & Sons album, Babel. It's Babel, After Babel. And he's written a couple pop-level books. One of them is about Gen Z called The Anxious Generation. It was really helpful for me as Gen Z, thinking through some of the cultural factors that influence us. But in his Substack called After Babel, the reason he named it After Babel is, even though he's not religious, he believes that the story of the Tower of Babel is the perfect metaphor to describe what is going on in the world right now. And so, in our Bibles, the story of Babel, it's in Genesis, and people discover bricks, and they decide, I want to use these bricks to become like God. And so they want to build up a tower to God because they want to make a name for themselves, is what it says. It's a little bit like the Garden of Eden. They want to be like God instead of receiving their life from God. So they build this tower to heaven, and God comes, and he confuses their languages. He gives them all these different languages and then scatters them all over the world. And this story, Jonathan Haidt claims, is the perfect metaphor for the chaotic, fragmented world that we live in right now. And it seems like with the rise of technology, the possibilities would be endless. And instead, there seems to be fragmentation, chaos, and outrage. And this should not surprise us as Christians. We believe that all people are created in God's image, that they are good and worthy of dignity, and that there is something deeply wrong in all of us. There's a problem within each and every one of us that leads to chaos, fragmentation, and outrage. And if you don't believe me, hang out with anyone at 2 p.m. after they skipped lunch. Hang out with anybody. And if you're around really holy people, come hang out with me at 2 p.m. if I've skipped lunch. And you'll see some chaos and some fragmentation. At this stoplight on Waco Drive, I sit in my office and I hear people just laying on their horns all the time. So they're mad. If you look at the comment section of any social media post on any platform, including Substack, you will see people eviscerating each other in the comments, hiding behind their little phones and their little screens. There is fragmentation and chaos. And these are kind of silly examples, but there are much deeper veins of this in our culture that I don't even need to go into. You know exactly what I am talking about. So we know that about people, that there's something within us that is wrong. And we also know, as Christians, that the Tower of Babel is not the beginning of the Bible. And it is not the end of the story, not even close. It is one story in the narrative of God's love for creation. It's a small piece in the tapestry of God's grace. And in our reading from Acts, a bunch of these threads, some of the primary threads of the Bible, are coming together in this moment. God is fulfilling a mission long before that is promised. And as we journey through this text, we'll see that our lives are woven into this passage as well. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. That's why we are wearing red. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit given to the disciples. So the disciples are gathered together on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly from heaven a violent wind rushes into their home, and it fills the entire house, and tongues of fire rest on each of the disciples. I think that image draws to mind like a candle flame, kind of that tongue of fire coming and resting on them. And the wind that fills this home draws our attention back to the very opening of the Bible in Genesis, when God began to create everything. The earth is described as complete chaos, like deep stormy waters. And it says over these chaotic waters, a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God speaks. God's breath goes out and says, let there be light. And there was light. And then it is good. It is very good. And we see God speaking over this chaotic water with his breath. This wind that hovers over the deep orders the chaotic waters and brings about creation. And it's the same wind that was over creation that comes into the house of the disciples. A new creation is happening here. And the wind and the fire resting on the disciples also calls our attention to the Exodus. So if you'll remember in the Exodus, the Israelites are in slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses comes and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And then he says it again, and it happens a bunch of times, and there's a lot of other really important things that happen in that story. But then Pharaoh finally says, okay, fine, you can leave. And he lets them leave, and they're on their way out of Egypt to the promised land. And then Pharaoh changes his mind and decides to unleash the entire military force of Egypt on him. And they chase Israel down, and there is a moment where Israel is backed up against the sea, backed up against the Red Sea. And as this happens, God says, Moses, stick your hand over the Red Sea. And when Moses does that, a wind blows and comes and parts the water before Israel and makes a path through the sea where there was no path, and dry ground comes before them. And while that is happening, while the wind is blowing through, Pharaoh's armies is coming behind, and God appears in a pillar of fire and cloud to guard the back of Israel from Pharaoh's army and sends the army into confusion. So we see fire and we see wind, and our mind is drawn to think of God's deliverance here. So God is creating all things, bringing a new creation, and God is delivering. And that's what we are drawn to think of here. And it comes about that this happens on the day of Pentecost. And we are celebrating Pentecost, but what they were celebrating was a different feast at the time. It is the backdrop of this whole thing. And Luke includes it purposefully here. In Judaism, Pentecost is a feast that celebrates the giving of the law. The giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And it also coincides with the harvest. And so they're celebrating that God provides for us through the harvest, and also that God has given the law. And so right after God parts the Red Sea and protects them from the armies, God meets them on Mount Sinai in a cloud and fire again and gives the Ten Commandments, gives the law. And the reason God gives the law is to show people how to live in God's presence and to show people how to live in each other's presence, which we don't always get right. That's what the law is to do, to show us how to be, how to love God with our whole heart and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. But showing somebody the right thing, just telling somebody the right thing to do, doesn't always mean that they will do it. I don't know if you've known this before. If you go into an elementary school classroom or a preschool and you tell a room of seven-year-olds, do not touch that box, they want to touch the box. I want to touch the box, and it's a made-up story. I don't know what's in the box. I want to touch it. I was on a walk last week, and I saw a 3 or 4-year-old boy, and he was walking in between the sidewalk and the street on the little strip of grass. You know what I'm talking about? And he's holding a little plastic golf club. And I'm on a walk, and you know, I was new to town. I want to make friends with the neighbors, and I say, "Are you playing golf?" And his mom immediately says behind him, "No, he's trying to see how close he can get to the street without breaking the rules." His mother told him not to play in the street, so he's going to get as close as he can to the street. Y'all know how it goes. You get up to the line, and then next thing you know, you're on the other side of the line. It happens. It happens. It's a tale as old as time. And throughout the Bible, the law shines a flashlight into our hearts and shows us that there is something within our hearts that is sick, an illness of the heart, that we want to get up to that line. We want to break the rules. We cannot love God with our whole heart, and we cannot love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is no coincidence that the Holy Spirit is poured onto the disciples on the feast that commemorates the law, because we can't do it ourselves. But Jesus comes and he fulfills the law perfectly. And that leads him all the way to the cross. And the Holy Spirit brings that fulfillment into our hearts and into our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us a new heart. And so all these threads are being drawn together in our reading from Acts to show us that the wind that hovered over creation, that shines light into chaotic darkness, the power that parted the Red Seas and delivers Israel from slavery in Egypt, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, has come to fulfill the law in our hearts, to deliver us from all that enslaves us, and to make us into a new creation. And this comes upon the disciples like a rushing wind, filling the entire house and resting on them like tongues of fire. God's presence comes to abide with them. And the immediate response is to proclaim what God has done. The wind is so loud that the neighbors stick their heads out of the window like, what was that? We got to go see what that is. And so they come around and the disciples proclaim God's mighty acts in the language of everyone that is gathered to there. It's the Feast of Pentecost, so people from all over are gathered. And they hear these Galileans, which are known to be kind of backcountry people with a thick accent, almost like someone from Lufkin, which is where I'm from. And they hear them speaking in all these different languages, proclaiming the mighty words of God. God does not create a homogenous society here. It's the undoing of Babel. But it's not in the way that I would expect. It's not one holy, perfect language that everybody has to learn how to speak. God comes exactly where we are, into all the different places that we are, and he decides to create something new, a unity that is not uniformity. That is what the love of God does, to make a multi-ethnic kingdom of love, a family, a new family. That is what God comes to do. That is what Pentecost is about. And Peter connects this to the prophet Joel. And Joel tells us that God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, prophecy is not just predicting the future. It's not like in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix where they go into that weird room with all the crystal balls and they put it next to their ear. That's not what prophecy is like in the Bible. Prophecy is proclaiming the works of God. And that seems really simple, but that is a really radical thing sometimes. And if you look at the prophets in the Bible, that is a very radical thing. It's very costly for them to proclaim the works of God. And that's what the disciples immediately do. They're proclaiming what God has done, that God comes to dwell among us in Jesus Christ, that he fulfills the law, and that takes him all the way to the cross, and that he was raised from the dead to defeat all the powers that thwart creation, and that power has come to dwell with you. That is what the disciples proclaim. And this message changes people. It changes the people that are listening. Something happens when people hear this news. It is the Holy Spirit working through the disciples, through that message of forgiveness. It touches their heart in some way. And so they go out throughout the world and they proclaim that message of forgiveness. They proclaim God's grace. And then it catches like fire. And it continues on and on and on through all of the world and through all of time until the moment we are in right now, where we gather together by the power of the Holy Spirit to hear God's mighty works afresh for us. And we need to hear that message of forgiveness over and over and over again, because I forget and because I need it. And God probably could have done it in an easier way. He probably could have cut the margin out, but God wanted you to be a part of it. God wanted me to be a part of it, and our neighbors down the street. God wants us to be a part of this family. God wants to be with you. And you may hear that and think, well, that's great for everybody else in the room, but if only people knew. Well, they knew the thoughts that I have, the things that I have done. I'm not so sure that that love is for me. When I was in seventh grade, I believed in God, but I had this kind of oldest son complex going on where I wanted to do the right thing all the time, but I wasn't able to do it. And so I kind of projected it onto God. And so I had this image of a very angry God. And my whole job was to just appease this God at all times. And so every night I would pray, God, please forgive me and don't send me to hell. That's all I wanted, to not go to hell. That's all I wanted. And that was the extent of my whole relationship with God. Just make sure I got that T crossed. Make sure I got that I dotted. Don't go to hell. That's the whole plan. And that was it. That was it for a long time until I was in middle school at some point, and I went to a church camp. And it was a great camp. They had a speaker and a band and games and small groups. It was fun. And it was one night during a small group where the leader said, go out and pray. Go out and pray by yourself. And so I went to a booth in the cafeteria, and I'm sitting there praying, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. And I must have looked pretty concerned because out of my peripherals, I hear someone say, hey, I'm going to go check on that kid over there. And so an adult walks over, and he puts his hand on my shoulder, and I look up, and it's our speaker for the week. And he says, hey, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm just praying. And he said, well, what are you praying about? Well, I'm just praying that God would forgive my sins. And I will never forget what he said. He said, he already has. And I'd heard it before. I grew up in the church. I had been baptized at this point. And yet it just fell on me afresh. That God loves me, even me. He knows what I have done, and he still loves me. He has already forgiven me. And he wants to hear a lot more from me than just, please forgive me. He wants to be in my life. And he wants to be in your life as well. He wants to make us into a new family. There is only one remedy for a fragmented and chaotic world, and it is the love of God in Jesus Christ that will not let creation go. It is already finished in the cross, and yet it's still not finished around us. It's already happened, but it is not yet complete. But Jesus has already done it. You are already forgiven. You are already loved by God. He has righted every wrong, and he wants to be near you. That is what Pentecost is all about, and that is why we have baptisms on this day, because the Holy Spirit brings a new creation. The Holy Spirit fulfills the law and dwells among us, and that begins now. Your life in God begins today in the life you actually live, and in Jesus it continues all the way through eternity. The Holy Spirit delivers you into God's life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of all creation. Give us an awareness of your presence today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit more and more. Let us know your love. We pray for those who are about to be baptized. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.